Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a good start to your Tuesday out there, everybody. We're going to treat you good. We got good stuff lined up this hour. In just a little bit, we'll get into our National Day of calendar. Looking forward to that. Also got, which leftover foods would you eat cold?
A great debate.
It is a good one.
It is. This is a good one.
We've also got one about the happiest country in the world. We're going to get into that. The best day of the week to take off. It's not today. It's
rats.
I know. I was hoping.
I know you hate Tuesdays, James.
It could have been a given. It could have been just like right there for us. But no, not today. We will see if we have some time for some random facts throughout the day. We also got some entertainment news we want to touch on. Of course, we wrap up the show in the 9 o'clock hour with NA Wright Stories, Good Stories of the Day. In that 8 o'clock hour, you will have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. All this stuff coming up for you. And it's live radio. You put Melissa and I together. You never know what can happen. Mel actually sent us a great Good Story of the Day, too. I'm looking forward to getting into that a little bit later as well. So got all those things coming because it involves jazz. I'll be honest. I just can tell the audience right now it involves jazz. So of course I want to talk about
it. Good, I know which one it is. I sent you then.
Yes, yeah. Really looking forward to that. How you doing this morning, Mel?
Oh, pretty good. I appreciated the extra hour to sleep in this morning. So thank you for letting me work from home today.
Definitely. I'm glad it helped. Every minute counts, let's be honest. Let alone an hour. It really does.
Well, and you know, it's amazing how much, you know, I had a lot of fun last week. And it was great to be able to be with colleagues and work remotely, which is just awesome to be able to have that flexibility. But being away from home for 4 days of the week was a lot. With the extra driving and stuff, too, because, you know, that was, I don't know, the 3, 6, 8, 9, 10 hours of driving I did last week.
At least. Let's tell the audience a little bit about what you were up to, because last Wednesday you were at a training seminar that Civic Media put on for all of their whole staff, helping us with training.
Yes, so Civic Media, Sage.
Hold up. I'm sorry, Melissa. I just said a training seminar that involved training. What was that?
You did.
Hey,
it was a good word salad.
Yeah,
well done.
Keep going.
So, yes, our CEO, Sage Weil, put this together for us, found an amazing consultant to come and do a day of training. His name is Holland Cook. And he did training. It was mostly aimed at talk show hosts for everyone that could be there, but also the news staff and everyone on staff, just to go through kind of what we need to work towards or try to accomplish in our role as talk show hosts, and for getting people involved and engaged in the conversations that we're having, and to take it to our listeners, because this show isn't about us, James.
Nope.
I mean, I know I make it about me on a regular basis, but this show is about our listeners. It is their show. So as you say very often, we can't do this show without them. They are, you know, you that are listening. You are our show. So Holland did a really great job of bringing that home and trying to tie in ways for us to connect to the listeners and to get feedback and really make the show about who it's for and about our listeners. So it was enlightening. It was great to spend that time with co-workers that we never get to see.
Yeah. That part, I'll admit, just as much as the training, I was looking forward to the part of being around everybody and having a chance to do that. I didn't get to go to the Christmas party either, so I was looking forward to doing that. Just didn't work out on my end. I will say that I've taken two different training seminars, like similar at least, it sounds like, to that before. And the biggest thing that I took from that, and one of the bigger things that I think I took from it in general, was one of the first lessons I learned just in working with the public and working with the audience. And I heard it from, and this isn't a quote from Dan Rather, but I want to say it was Dan Rather I heard talking about it, that the first rule of journalism is to, you know, the story can never be about you. And in these training seminars, one of the things we talked about, and this was about 7-8 years ago, maybe. So it was a while ago. A lot changes. But was about the idea of how do we reach audiences in radio in a format that at the time wasn't doing very well. Actually, radio has done bounced back quite a bit since then. But the thing was, you couldn't. The biggest thing from these two people that were hosting this conference, a man and a woman, wonderful people. I wish I could remember their names. It was Salander or something like that. But they talked about reaching audiences and how radio used to be. They would always tell you, don't try to talk to one person. Try to talk to as many people as you can. And modern radio, just that doesn't work. You can go ahead and try to do that, and there are plenty of radio stations that are still doing it, and I'm sure they're doing okay. But what we're doing here is real radio. Yeah, we're going to reference our lives every once in a while. We're going to talk about ourselves sometimes. That's called relatability. That's called giving the audience something to go off of.
We're people, too.
Instead of us just trying to treat this job like we aren't people, like we are just an entity almost, something. That I'm a radio announcer, and I will tell you this, this, and this, but I'm not going to tell you anything else. Now, there's a line. We try not to go too heavy. On this show, we go a bit opinion-based, sure, because this isn't our news show. We have news breaks in here on purpose to specifically show you, hey, these are news breaks. These are us. Just rambling and trying to have some fun with you guys and, you know, make you smile and give you a positive start to the day. You can't do that fake. You can't do that without actually trying to share a little bit of yourself and be a little vulnerable. Little look behind the curtain for everybody. Melissa and I, not exactly the most comfortable people in the world at that. we're not exactly, you know, just forthcoming with all this information always. But Mel, being a great team player, you know, you picked up on that right away. And I was very fortunate to get to, if I'm being honest with the audience, I did this job by myself for quite a while. So I had to learn to do that. When you have nobody else to talk to or bounce off of and everything, you know, you kind of learn to talk to yourself.
That's a good thing to have your voice that's inside your head sometimes be able to peek out, because we all have that internal voice in our heads that nobody else hears.
Yeah, it's great to hear the conference went well. I'm looking forward to hearing some of the notes you took, and Sage was nice enough to record it.
You were very missed, James. Several people came up to me and asked, you know, mentioned that they wished you could have been there.
So. Oh, yeah, because they know I could use it. They know.
No, I don't think that's what they meant.
I'm very... it's nice to, I'll be completely real. I haven't always been able to do this, but with our Civic Media family, there's nobody I don't root for. There's nobody who I'm not a fan of, who I don't like listening to. Honestly, I have another job, and of course I act, so I can't listen to a whole lot. But like yesterday, I checked out Devil's Advocate for a while. I haven't heard, is it Don? Mike and Don.
Yes, Don.
I haven't heard Mike and Don really go at each other like before. I've heard them argue a little bit, but I haven't heard.
It could be entertaining.
Ooh, yeah. Oh boy.
Don doesn't hold back.
No. And I really appreciate that. That's real radio. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Those are two people. You could just as easily hear that conversation happening in down the street or in your local pub or something like that.
Yeah, because every once in a while, it's good for Don to rein Mike in.
Yeah. And vice versa, I think.
Yeah.
I think vice versa
in
some ways.
Yeah, they both have that capability.
Yeah, yeah.
They play well off of each other.
That's so important. And we're really fortunate that we have that in tons around here. You know, it's a lot of fun. And I want to kind of lean into that a little bit. Our opening topic today, we're going to be talking about the coldest temperatures in the U.S. We'll get to that a little after our National Day of Calendar and after Melissa's news. What I wanted to do was put the focus where it's really important, Melissa, and go into our staff and talking about our great team here and March Madness. Because this is the important stuff. This is the stuff the audience is really listening for. We, of course, all filled out brackets around here. And Pam, being the not only heart of WFHR, but being the best teammate you could ask for, is nice enough to not only keep the scores, but gave me an update.
Oh, good.
Sent it to me late last night. Appreciate you. Big shout out to Pam and a thank you to her. I did not know that we were doing NIT brackets. I didn't. I know she brought it up and I was in running around on Friday, so I didn't fill one out. I'm actually very angry at myself. I've never filled out an NIT bracket. I should have done it. But
which one's the NIT?
NIT is the second tournament. So those that don't make it into the NCAA March Madness tournament to go for the Final Four and to win the whole championship, to win the whole thing, there is the secondary tournament called the NIT tournament. And that's where traditionally a lot of teams, before they really opened it up in the NCAA and the talent pool kind of went all over the place, the NIT was really where a lot of smaller market teams went. But now you've got teams like Wisconsin going there and that kind of thing. And Wisconsin currently running game in there. More on that in a moment. Looking at the NIT tournament, Beth is at with 9 points, Terry has 10, Pam has 11, and Randy has 15.
Woohoo.
For our NCAA bracket, Pam is at 26, Beth is at 30, Terry at 36, Seth at 37, Randy at 41, and James at 43.
Huh. Nice.
I'm not comfortable with that lead at all. I do not like that at all, especially when I look at my bracket and I see how rough it was. The right side of the NCAA brackets are looking better than the left, which is kind of interesting. It's just the way this stuff works out sometimes.
Well, and I didn't get to fill out one at the office because you guys did them on paper.
Yeah.
But Kristen Bry put one out company-wide, and I did get in on that one.
All right.
And I am currently ranked 7th.
Woohoo!
With 14 brackets filled out with everybody that joined in,
nice.
With 38 points.
Oh, nice. All right, way to go.
I'm still in. I haven't been knocked out yet.
Do you know who you had winning it all?
Yes, I do. Hold on. Let me go back to that screen. I had picked Arizona, who has been knocked out, and then Gonzaga.
Hey, that's who I picked.
Is that? Oh, hey.
I had Gonzaga winning it all. Gonzaga traditionally is a team they're in a smaller conference, or not as a competitive conference, so they tend to do really good in the NCAA tournament and then get to like the Elite Eight or the Final Four the last couple of rounds and kind of fade out a little bit. I don't think that's going to happen. This year, with all the craziness, I think Gonzaga actually can hang in there and actually win this thing for the first time.
Yeah, that's who I picked as champions. So
nice.
We'll
all right.
See. We'll see. I went into this. I was like, oh, they got all these things I can look at. And after I looked at like one set of teams, I was like, I don't have time for this. Just picking. Boop, 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 boop. And then I get done. I'm like, wait, I'm not done. There's a whole other half down here. Oh man.
Have you ever filled out a bracket before?
No, not for basketball. I think I did one for football. At school years ago, because they do that for those too, right?
Yeah, they do picks, yeah, okay. Pick-ems and stuff. I'm so glad you did this. And just as a great example of why I love this so much, I love college basketball. I pay as much attention as I can, as much bandwidth as I have for fandom and being a sports fan and all that. Melissa couldn't care less about college basketball. Doesn't know a thing. We both picked the same team. We both picked the same team to win it all.
I root for them, you know, as athletes, as young people, you know, making their way in the world. But yes, I don't have bandwidth for that.
Right.
No time.
I love that we picked the same team.
I know. That is pretty cool. If it's on when I'm at the bar, I'll pay attention to it. Go, guys, go. Because there was actually a game the other night when we were in there. I was like, I don't remember which team I need to root for, which one I picked. And I think it was the game against, was it Alabama and Kansas? Did they play each other?
Alabama and maybe. There's been so many games.
Kentucky, Kansas. I know, that's the thing.
I know the
too.
One I'm trying to think. I know the one you're talking about, though. It was a good game.
And I don't remember which one. I was like, oh, I don't know who to root for. I'll just root for both of them. It was so close.
I think that's one of the fun things about basketball. Is that you don't need the rules are pretty basic, and even if you don't know every rule, you get the gist of it. You get a pretty good idea of, hey, they want to put that ball in that hoop. That seems like a really important part of this game. I think that's one of the, and it's I generally think, and as much as I love every sport, all the four major sports, I think basketball is the most artistic. I think it's a chance that you have the most to be the most creative and the most artistic on the court. So I think that visually it's one of the more fun things to watch as well, especially the last 2 minutes of any basketball game. I don't care.
They do a lot more with the ball than other games. I mean, soccer does quite a bit too, but they've got a lot bigger space to do it in. So I think there's a lot more ball interaction in basketball versus something like soccer or football.
Yeah. Speaking of basketball, we, of course, are your home for the Wisconsin Badgers, and your Badgers are continuing on, your Badgers basketball team in the NIT tournament. They are heading into the quarterfinals, taking on Oregon, Wisconsin versus Oregon. That is going on tonight. Ooh. At 7 o'clock. Cannot wait for it. Looking forward to that. Now, that game may seem like, wait a minute, Wisconsin, Oregon, Badgers and Ducks facing off and everything. Well, that game may sound a little memorable to some of our audience out there, our longtime listeners. We covered this game. The last time Wisconsin and Oregon played in basketball was on March 22nd in 2019. We covered that game pretty, you know, we had that game because we've been home with the Badgers for a very long time. And we had that game, I believe that was part of the NCAA tournament. It wasn't the NIT. This one is the NIT. The other one was the NCAA tournament. Longtime listeners will remember our head of news for decades and one of the sole pieces of this station, Carl Hilke. Carl had a couple of voices he was famous for doing. He had a couple of great impressions he would do. One of them was Donald Duck. Did a great Donald Duck. To this day, the best Donald Duck I have ever heard. I told Carl this back in the day, and I stand by it. It is right up there with the actual Donald Duck voice. It's right there with it. Carl, you know, Badgers and Ducks and everything facing off against each other. Of course, Carl had to touch on this and mention it. So as we go to break, and we'll come back after our break here and get into our National Day of Calendar. I asked Pam; she said it was cool. So I'm going to go ahead and play this soundbite from Carl back in the day from March 22nd, 2019, with Carl doing his duck voice and talking about this game. To our listeners out there that aren't familiar with Carl Hilke, to give you a little bit of a chance to understand what the history of WFHR, and long before we are simulcast on FM, before we are owned by Civic Media or anything, we were this station that, you know, just been around for 80 plus years, taking care of the central Wisconsin area, keeping you hopefully informed and entertained. And a big part of that was this voice right here. We'll be back with more here at WFHR.
This afternoon at 2:30, we'll be interrupting our normal programming to join the Wisconsin Badgers Basketball Network as the Badgers begin tournament play against the Oregon Ducks. Get out of here.
You want a bet, Hilke?
No. Okay, 2:30 broadcast time is a 3:30 tip-off, and it's from San Jose, California. And I was telling James during the Good Morning Show, I got some Badger karma working for us. They're playing the game at the arena where the San Jose Sharks play hockey. And those of you who are hockey fans know Plover's own and former Badger Joe Pavelski plays in that arena for the San Jose Sharks. So maybe that's some good vibes for the Badgers. But they'll be playing at 3:30 to tip off. And it's our broadcast with Matt LePay and and company begins at 2:30 this afternoon.
Welcome back, everyone, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday out there. It's time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this March 21st, 2023. It is National Healthy Fats Day.
Hey, we've learned that fats are important and good for you.
Every Monday, I check out this awesome cooking show called The Kitchen's Open.
We talked about good fats.
It did.
Beef.
Yeah, I remember this. I was actually excited, like, oh, I know what this means. I know. I really feel like I should have known a long time ago, but I do appreciate that you guys covered this. Is there a quick breakdown we can give people what a healthy fat is?
Off the top of my head? There are the healthy fats from things like beans are definitely good for you. I can't tell you what the...
Yeah, so one of the common themes running through healthcare used to be fat is bad, leading people to lean on carbs, including sugar and processed foods instead. The fallout from this decision, obesity rates have continued to soar, and the idea that all fat is bad has spread without ease. National Healthy Fats Day reminds us all that everything must exist in moderation, and that includes the level of fat in our diet.
Yes. So we want things that good fats from like
saturated
nuts,
fats,
seeds,
trans fats,
fish. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Monosaturated and polysaturated are the ones that you want.
Mm.
Avocados, some from dairy, cheese. Cheese has a lot of good fats in it. Dark chocolate.
Mm.
It's very high in fat, but it's the good fat. Whole eggs. You want whole eggs. Fatty fish, nuts. These are the things you want to incorporate into your diet.
Mm-hmm.
Extra virgin olive oil. Be careful with that one, though, because the United States is a dumping ground for not so great olive oil. That
yeah.
might be another kitchen segment I'm going to dive into, because that is fascinating to me.
We, I've mentioned before, we never had a lot growing up, but one thing we had, my nana made darn sure, we didn't just have olive oil, it was from Italy. It was Italian
yes.
olive oil. It always
yeah.
had to be from Italy. My nana was very pro-American, very, very like buying American-made products and everything. This was literally the one thing that she would not buy in this country. Olive oil was what she used it on everything, and she was very serious about that olive oil. Like, the woman didn't put her foot down about anything, but this was what.
Well, and it's all imported. I don't think that olives can grow in this climate.
No. I think what she meant by it was just stuff that was imported from Italy, straight from
Italy. From Italy specifically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good call. Way to go.
She's way ahead of her time then. I don't think she realized that, but yeah. She knew something. National Common Courtesy Day. I think a really common courtesy thing to do is not cut people off when they're trying to talk. I'm so sorry, Melissa. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We do that to each other a lot. It's kind of that way when you can't see each other's faces all the time.
I couldn't help it. I think one of the greatest things you can do for yourself, for society, is having a little bit of class. And that doesn't mean you have to dress a certain way or really be a certain type of person. It just means that you have to have the in your repertoire, in your lexicon, thank yous, please, that kind of
and
thing.
And consideration for others. Mm-hmm. I mean, this article is talking about the, like, if you empty the cardboard, you know, the toilet paper roll in the bathroom, replace it. That's not hard to do.
I mean.
And you're the one that emptied it.
if you don't replace it, you're right next to evil. You're not evil,
karma.
But you're right next to it. Yes,
and
yes. Karma's
karma. Gonna get you.
It always will. It will catch up with you one day. Maybe not today, but oh, it'll get you.
Yeah, I think, you know, every little thing that you can do, and this is something I think that's great to instill in children at a young age, because helping them remember to think about the fact that, okay, but you emptied the toilet paper roll, replace it. Just think if you sat down and there was no toilet paper, what would you do? Mom!
Yeah.
You know? So to keep that, to incorporate it into our daily lives and help to be conscientious about it.
It's International Forest Day. This was established on March 21st by the resolution of the United Nations General Assembly on November 28th and back in 2012. Since then, each year, various events celebrate and raise awareness of the importance of all types of forests and trees outside forests for the benefit of current and future generations. The state of our current forests is important to us all here on Earth for many reasons. 80% of all terrestrial biodiversity lives in forests.
Wow.
80%. And each year, many species go extinct as a result of them being destroyed. Of course, forests also play a critical role in climate change. Deforestation results in 12 to 18% of the world's carbon emissions and accelerated global warming. Forests also provide food, fiber, water, and even medicines for approximately 1.6 billion of the world's population, especially for the poorest of the people.
Forests are very important. And maybe, you know, since we just talked about the toilet paper roll, this is a good time to talk about bidets.
Yep.
Because I really think that we should have more of those. It should become more of a common fixture in households. And it's something that, as Americans, we're just a little leery about.
I would like to thank Matt Stone and Trey Parker, the writers and creators of South Park, because honestly, I did not realize and never even thought about this subject very much, about bidets or anything like that. I figure, oh, that's a rich person thing. Why should I even think about that or anything? They did an episode about Japanese toilets. And the idea of this and everything, and how in this country, the paper industry and what they have done about that, and the not misinformation, but the clouding of information as far as the cleanliness of toilet paper and some of these things. And
well, and now we just find out that all toilet paper has PFAS in it.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, well, all the more reason to cut back on the usage of it.
Hey, we need to like start evolving to the bidet thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like we as a world, not just us as a country. I mean, the whole world needs to start evolving this way.
The rest of the world is far ahead of us on that racetrack there.
I was trying to make us feel better here in the country, but yeah, you're absolutely right, Melissa. Yeah, 100%.
There are more and more of them showing up in like people's homes.
Yeah,
which is a good first step because you need to get you because it's a different experience to use a bidet. Some of them are heated, some of them are not.
Yeah. We're very sensitive to anything involving paper in this state, in this area, and really as a country. And I'm not trying at all to hurt the paper industry.
No,
but the paper,
it's not going away.
And the paper industry is hurting us. Like, if this stuff is not doing its job, if it toilet paper is supposed to keep us clean, if it's not keeping us as clean, if there is a better option, we owe it to ourselves as human beings to go to it and adapt as we need to with the industry. There's people doing jobs in the coal mines, so we need to keep using coal. We're going to go ahead and avoid all these other, ways of transport, energy. We didn't do that. That doesn't make any sense. I feel for people in the coal mining industry, of course. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to lose their job or their career or their livelihood. But times change. There used to be people that carried big blocks of ice around and dropped off ice at people's apartments because we didn't have refrigerators. Those people lost their jobs when we got refrigerators. I'm sure there were some people that cried about it, but we moved on as a society. There are other jobs. There are other things you can do. The same thing's going to happen to me one day. Radio's not going to be around forever. There's going to be a day, and hopefully it is way, way down the line, but there's going to be a day where radio isn't relevant anymore. There's going to be days where almost all of our jobs are on the chopping block. It's called adapting.
Need to evolve. Yeah, they need to evolve into something else that is better for us as a people and for our planet. And I think that the paper industry has that opportunity. They have that ability. If we use less toilet paper, that doesn't mean we're going to use less paper.
Right.
But paper isn't going into our sewer systems.
Right.
Toilet paper is.
A couple more I want to run through real here quick. World Down Syndrome Day. I do want to take a moment on that. That's a great one.
Yes.
All of us have have come into contact with those with Down Syndrome at one time or another, usually free-spirited and happy and often surrounded by adoring and animal friends. People with Down Syndrome seem to be able to enjoy the little things in life the way that many of us can't, and in many ways they do. However, they also face countless challenges as an everyday bias, and many simple things the rest of us take for granted can prove extremely difficult for them, despite their admirably positive attitudes to life. That's why we should all take some time on this World Down Syndrome Day to learn a little bit more about the disorder and how we can help those who have it, help them live better lives, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Down syndrome has been observed in all races for thousands of years. Sadly, many infants with disabilities were either killed or abandoned in ancient times. However, quite a few historical pieces of art are believed to portray people and even angels with Down syndrome, including South American pottery dating back to 5th century AD, as well as some Renaissance paintings.
Yeah.
Down syndrome was first characterized as a separate form of mental disability in 1862 by English physician John Langdon Down. It was almost 100 years later, however, that its cause, triplication of the 21st chromosome, was discovered by Jarier Loan in the 19th and 20th centuries. In the 19th and 20th centuries, many individuals with Down syndrome were institutionalized. Few of the associated medical problems were treated, and most died in infancy or early adult life.
Hmm.
This is important history to remember. And thankfully, we have gotten better. Now, the eugenics movement, which is incredibly important for people to remember, usually thought to have exclusively to Nazi Germany, but this was throughout many parts of Europe in the 20th century. It's something that, thankfully, we have grown and learned from a society, but we cannot forget. And if you are fortunate to know anybody or have been around anybody or can call anybody friend that has Down syndrome, today's a great day to reach out to them, see how they're doing, let them know that you're thinking of them. They're some of the greatest human beings you will ever meet.
Yes.
It's World Poetry Day. Today is a great day to remember poetry, write some poetry, to learn some poetry, listen to some poetry. I love poetry. It's a good one. It is also Harmony Day. It's a good one.
Hey.
National Single Parent Day. Big shout out to all the single parents.
Yes, so many shout outs to you guys. I don't know how you do it.
I don't imagine that they can really hear us doing that because they're busy parenting.
They're too busy parenting.
But we do appreciate you single parents. Thank you so much. You helped make this world go round.
Mm-hmm.
National French Bread Day. I love French bread.
It's so good.
It is the ultimate dipper. It is great. Tear it apart, you dip it in some marinara.
Oh, it's even better in really good olive oil.
Yes, it is.
With herbs in it.
Yes. Yes.
And when I'm feeling like I want to, be mean to myself, some cheese.
It's good stuff, though. Good stuff. Yeah, it's
aged white cheddar is not as bad, though.
Oh, that's good. That's good to know.
Yes.
It is National Memory Day, a great day to go over some of your fondest and favorite memories. Our brains have the remarkable ability to store countless memories from the mundane to the extraordinary, shaping our senses of self and providing a rich tapestry of our life.
Yes.
It's a good one. Go over some of your favorite memories today. And it is National Crunchy Taco Day. Because it's Tuesday.
Crunchy tacos are awesome.
It's Tuesday.
Even though
it's
messy.
Yes, they are. They are messy, but that's part of what we love about them.
And then you also just need a fork then.
Yeah, yeah. And nothing wrong with that. That's a good one, though. I love tacos. And how about that? It fell on a Tuesday.
Oh, of course it had to.
That's pretty good.
I suppose it doesn't.
I like that it did. That's pretty good.
Once every, every 7 years?
Something like that, yeah.
So you should eat a crunchy taco today.
Get one in your life. We're going to take a quick commercial break, get to Melissa's news. After that, we're going to talk about the top 10 U.S. states where temperatures have decreased the most. I'm going to get into that in a little bit when we come back on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Good Tuesday to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa and James here with you. And we're going to get into an interesting one here. It kind of sent me down a rabbit hole, and I want to thank Pam Hilke for that. Pam sent this over to us the other day. She thought it was interesting, and she was right. A new study has revealed the top 10 U.S. states where temperatures have decreased the most, and Wisconsin features in third place.
Wow.
With a 2.5 decrease in the average annual temperatures since 2000. How does that compare to the rest of the country? Well, Travel Lenses has analyzed the annual average temperature for each U.S. state from 2000 to 22 to reveal the states where temperatures have increased and decreased the most. They have also revealed the hottest and coldest U.S. vacation destinations using climate data. So the top 10 U.S. states where temperatures have decreased the most, Minnesota at number one. Their average temperature back in 2000 was 41 degrees. Their average temperature by 2022 is 40 degrees. Had about a negative 4.3 change. Then North Dakota, very similar, just a slight less of a change. And then Wisconsin, as I mentioned, at third. Wisconsin used to average up until 2000 43.9 degrees. Now their average temperature is 42.8 degrees. That's a change of negative 2.5. Iowa, South Dakota, Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, Idaho, and New Mexico round out the top 10. The research also revealed that Denali National Park in Alaska has been named the coldest destination in the U.S., with the average annual temperature of 26.4 Fahrenheit, Two Colorado locations followed in second and third, with Telluride and Aspen averaging 31 and 34, respectively. Key West, Florida takes the crown of the hottest vacation spot in the U.S., with an average annual temperature of 77.3 degrees Fahrenheit. Followed closely behind is another Florida city, Miami, average 76 degrees, while Maui averages 75 degrees, one of the places, Hawaiian Island, in third. So Maui is actually third compared to two cities in Florida.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Maine has had the biggest increase in temperature of any U.S. state, with the state's average annual temperature increasing by 6.1 degrees or 2.5 degrees Fahrenheit since the millennium. Since the millennium, Massachusetts took second and then New Hampshire third.
That's a big increase.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just reading another article here this morning about climate change and the disconnect between, because climate change activists and scientists across the world talk about it in Celsius, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to Americans and people in the United States, because we don't understand the degrees in Celsius. It just doesn't make sense to us because we haven't had it our whole lives. But what they equated it to was how different we feel, because they're talking about like a 1 point something increase. Doesn't sound like a lot. But when we think about, okay, but how do I feel when I have a 103 degree fever?
Right.
You know, that's not much of an increase from a normal temperature, but that's what the world is experiencing with this increase.
Yeah.
Of the average temperatures overall. That's a lot.
We really need to be paying attention to this. Thought it'd be interesting to look at the coldest record recorded temperature in Wisconsin history. And that takes us back to February 4th, 1996. Corduroy. I think I don't remember if I'm saying that right. Corduroy, Wisconsin, recorded a temperature of negative 55.
Whoa.
It's the lowest temperature recorded in Wisconsin state history, according to WeAreGreenBay.com.
Wow.
Interesting. And then I thought I'd look at the coldest recorded temperature in U.S. history. I got two different things here. One of them, so the coldest temperature ever observed in the lower 48 states has been, with special attention to the coldest reading, of negative 69.7 degrees Fahrenheit reported from Rogers Pass, Montana on January 20th in 1954.
Wow.
Pretty cold. However, as far as U.S. goes, the world record for the lowest temperature recorded is negative 128.6 degrees Fahrenheit, according to the World Meteorological Organization. The temperature was recorded on July 21st, 1983, in Vosik, Antarctica.
Oh, for the world. Okay, wow.
Yeah, yeah, I meant to say world.
It's okay. That's really cold.
The coldest temperature in the U.S. was, of course, recorded in Antarctica. It was negative 76 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, crazy. Alaska. I meant to say Alaska there. The coldest temperature in the as far as U.S. states.
Right.
Alaska had the coldest one, of course. Now, the hottest temperature, the official record for the hottest temperature on Earth, comes from Death Valley, California, with temperatures reaching 134 degrees Fahrenheit in July of 1913.
Wow. That's really, really hot.
Yeah, yeah. I would not want to be one of those animals over there. That's for sure.
No. Well, and the unfortunate thing is, with what's happening with the climate change, we are experiencing more extreme weather events, more severe storms, and that's pushing more pollutants into rivers and harming wildlife. So, you know, that these aren't necessarily good things.
We got to pay attention to this stuff. We owe it not only to ourselves, but to the world, to the earth,
to the future generations.
I will always come back to this this Native American proverb that we don't plant trees for ourselves. We don't plant trees for us to see them grow. We plant them for our children to see them grow. It's important.
We gotta plan ahead.
Take a break right here. We'll come back and we'll get into the best day of the week to take off.
All right.
It's not Tuesday. Not today. It's not Tuesday, no. Coming up on The Morning Show with Melissa and James here at WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here at WFHR. Melissa and James here with you. And we're going to take you right up to the top of the hour. Then we'll get some CBS News to update you on your world events. After that, we'll get a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Talk with Paul Trombi a little bit. Looking forward to it. After we're done talking with Paul, we'll get into leftover foods. Which can we eat cold?
Yes.
Which leftover foods would we eat cold? That'll be coming up after we talk with Paul and get that weather update. And after we're done with that, of course, a little bit later, we'll get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club in the 8 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. Right now, you should strongly consider taking tomorrow off of work. So start faking those cold symptoms right now. Are you feeling a little weird? A professor at the University of Texas who focuses on time and communication found the best day of the week to take off is Wednesday.
Really?
And here's why. We all get into a routine of 5 days of work, then the two-day weekend. When we take a Wednesday off, we go 2 days of work, day off, 2 days of work, 2 days off.
That sounds ideal.
When we break up our rhythm like that, it breaks us out of our routines. You should feel less stressed and overwhelmed at work because you're not staring down yet another 5 day week. You should also feel more excited about your time off because it's such a non traditional day off, almost like having a snow day as a kid. Plus, Wednesdays are a good day of off because everything you might do is less crowded, from movies to amusement parks to restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if everybody takes this day off, then that's going to kind of cancel that, counter that.
But it's not possible for everybody to take it off. So,
I have a question for this, but do you have something first you wanted to, anything you wanted to add to this first, Melissa?
Well, first off, I'd say if I took a Wednesday off in the middle of the week, I wouldn't be doing things like going to a movie.
Yeah.
I'd be cleaning my house, doing laundry, catching up on all the things that I put off for the weekend so that I don't have to do them on the weekend.
I'd be trying to learn how to take a nap. I spend like more time trying to learn how to take a nap than actually taking the nap. I know.
Don't read about it, James. It's not going to help you.
Yeah, it's not going to. No. Did this professor actually end up helping you and Seth in a way, but mostly you out with your 4 day work week plan? Because I think when a lot of I'll speak for myself, when I think of this and you know, you've really won me over with the idea of this. I wouldn't say that I was ever against the idea, but when we first started talking about this, which has only been about a year or so, I didn't think that this would ever happen. I thought this was a pipe dream. And since then, the amount of stories and data that has come out, the way that society has kind of been reacting to this, the way the rest of the world has been reacting, I think you may have been ahead of the game on this one. But I always looked at it as, oh, we'll probably take Monday or Friday off, you know, and kind of lead into that.
Yeah, you want to think of having 3 days off in a row as better, but this is an interesting study to look at it as, you know, 2 days on, a day off, 2 days on, 2 days off.
Kind of like it.
Yeah, it's not terrible. Every once in a while, it'd be nice to have the 3 days in a row for like a weekend getaway or, you know, if you're going to travel a little bit. But on a regular basis, having a schedule like that would be pretty sweet.
Well, similar to holidays, not everybody's going to get that Wednesday off. There's going to be people that will work that Wednesday and maybe get that Thursday or that Tuesday off or whatever it is. However, you know, companies work that stuff out. Somebody's going to have to work on Wednesdays, and, you know, that'll shift as schedules do. You know, 1 week you're working a Wednesday, 1 week you're not, that kind of thing. All this is so doable. It really is just a matter of if we want to or not. The idea that our financial institutions or our businesses couldn't survive this, let me just point to holidays. Let me point to Black Friday and what we've done to Thanksgiving, what we've done to, you know, I mean, we find ways to make things work. It's a matter of willpower. It's a matter of if we want to or not. There was a point in time where people didn't think anybody would wear seatbelts.
Well, and look at all the people that work on weekends, too. So maybe you work Saturday, Sunday, have Monday off, work Wednesday, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, have Thursday off, work Friday, Saturday. Like, you know, there's a way that it could be implemented in a rotation that would kind of help across the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I will say this, though, because I don't know if this is going to happen in our our work cycles, our life work cycles, as far as before we retire. And I've said before, part of the reason I enjoy acting or I enjoy writing or even radio, I don't really have to retire, which kind of works out for me because I don't know if I'll be able to. but I will guarantee you, I will promise, I will guarantee, I will bet $1,000 right now that if they do this, it'll be the day after I retire. The day I will retire, I'll be sitting back, watching the news or something like that, and it'll break that we're going to a 4-day work week.
It's like, happened in the USA.
Yeah.
James.
Yeah. And I have never broken a TV in my life, but that will be the time that I probably will. That'll be the one time. just the law of averages. Just Mayloff. It used to be Murphy's law. It's really Mayloff's law now. That's really what we look at it as. Am I alone in this? Do you think that we're getting more and more data, more and more people in society that are agreeing with this, the idea of a 4-day work week?
Well, and it's not just the people, James. I think it's the corporations and the companies that are seeing more productivity from their workers. That's what's going to tip it. It's not people's opinion on this. It's going to have to be the almighty dollar that decides it. And when they can see that, you know, people are going to accomplish more in 32 hours than 40, that's what's going to say, oh, well, hey, we can shut down the office another day of the week and we don't have to pay all those electricity bills and water and all that. That's going to save us money, too. Plus, our employees are more productive. All right, let's get on this bandwagon.
Yeah, it would involve a couple of tricky things, but I don't think we're talking about reinventing the wheel here or trying to get to Mars. This isn't impossible.
I think this is very plausible.
I'm very curious to see, you know, how it develops. The more data we can get of this, the better, because it's just going to, you know, there's going to be people out there that are never, you know, just like anything. There's going to be people that are never be on board on this, no matter what data you put in front of them. But I'm talking about the gray area people, the people that are on the fence on this one. The more data we get, the better it is for them to kind of make it an informed decision.
Yeah, and that's what it'll take, is just data and that bottom dollar.
I feel like I have enough right now to make a call and to make a decision, but I am going to feel a lot better once I do get that data, because like I said, I've only come around to this in the past year, and it's not that I ever thought it was a bad idea. I'm more so I don't like window shopping. I'm not a big person at doing it. If I know, I don't like looking at a Maserati. I'm never going to be able to afford a Maserati. Why am I want to look at that? I don't care. Yeah. I don't like the idea of thinking, like, getting too far down the rabbit hole of things that aren't actually going to happen. But now it's looking more and more like it could actually happen.
Well, and when you window shop, when you try things on, you know they fit better. So sometimes we're just going to have to try it.
So that's a good point, actually, Mel. That's a good point. We'll take it. Oh, you got me on that one. It's good. We'll take it. I got a counter. I got to think of a counter.
Too late. Go to break.
Ah, darn it. We'll be back with more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.